What if I told you that the secret to getting an AI to write a brilliant, deeply soulful article is to outright ban it from using colons or double quotes?
I mean, it sounds completely absurd on its face, right? We usually think of AI prompting as like giving instructions on what to do, not stripping away basic punctuation.
But that is the exact paradox we're exploring today, because we've all probably had this totally familiar
Oh,
experience.
absolutely.
You sit down, you open up your favorite AI assistant, and you type in a quick prompt for an email or a blog post. And like 2 seconds later, it spits out a response.
Yeah, and you look at it and you think, well, that was okay, but it's not really my voice.
Exactly. It's not your voice. It has that really polite, sanitized structure, but it completely lacks the specific flavor that makes it sound, well, human. We end up treating the AI like a vending machine for text.
A vending machine. I like that.
Yeah, you put a prompt in, you get a generic snack out.
And the crazy thing is, we just accept that vending machine model because tweaking prompts only gets us so far. Like adding adjectives such as be more casual or write like an expert, it just shuffles the generic output around. It doesn't actually change the underlying mechanics of how the machine generates language.
Which brings us perfectly to the source material for today's deep dive. We are looking at this incredibly detailed blog post by developer Xingfan Jia. It's titled, "I Open Sourced the 11 AI Skills I Use Every Week."
Yeah, this is a fascinating piece of work.
It really is. Jia details a GitHub repository called AX Skills. Just for context for you listening, this is a public mirror of Jia's personal directory of AI workflows. They're specifically built for Claude Code, which is this AI assistant that operates directly inside a developer's terminal so it can read files and execute commands right there.
And the mission of Xia's post, really, is a fundamental redefinition of how we interact with these tools. Xia realized after a year of doing this that a true AI skill is not just a good prompt saved in some Notion template.
Right, it's bigger than that.
Exactly. A true skill is a complex workflow that you actually commit to disk.
Okay, let's unpack this concept. Taking this fuzzy, intuitive process from your brain and turning it into a concrete pipeline. To really understand how that looks in practice, we need to examine one of the writing skills Jia open sourced. It's called Kha'Zix Writer.
Ah, yes, the casus writer.
Yeah. So on the surface, the goal is pretty simple, right? Generate Chinese long-form articles in the voice of a popular tech blogger named Kha'Zix, who is known for this very specific conversational narrative-driven style. I mean, if I were doing this, I'd probably just tell the AI, hey, be conversational and tell a story.
And you would get that generic vending machine output.
Totally, but Jia bypasses that entirely.
Right, because Kha'Zix Writer doesn't just offer style notes. It forces the AI through an incredibly rigorous four-layer self-checking loop. The AI actually grades and revises its own work against rigid rules before a human ever even sees the draft.
And this is where that colon ban comes in, which is just wild to me. Layer one is entirely based on hard rules. So the AI scans its own draft for banned words, those cliche phrases that scream an AI wrote this. But the punctuation ban is what I just find fascinating.
Yeah, no colons, no em dashes, no double quotes.
None. Why?
Well, the underlying mechanism there is all about disrupting the AI's default pathways.
Okay, how so?
When a language model generates a list or a summary, its mathematical weightings strongly push it towards setting that up with a colon.
Oh, sure. Like, here are the three things, colon.
Exactly. And when it tries to feign emphasis, it relies heavily on em dashes and quotes. So by banning those specific characters outright, the AI simply cannot rely on its default predictive patterns.
Oh, wow.
It is physically forced to construct the sentence differently, using connective words and much more natural phrasing. It makes it sound much more like a human just typing out a continuous thought.
That is so clever. And if the draft fails that scan, the system automatically kicks it back to rewrite those offending sentences, right?
And once it passes that, it moves to layer two, which is style consistency. Here, the AI checks its own structural rhythm. It has to verify if it opened a section with a concrete scene, and this is key, if it is alternating between long and short sentences.
So it's basically checking its own pulse.
Yeah, think of layer two as an internal metronome, because AI naturally gravitates toward uniform sentence lengths, which is why AI text often feels like a drone.
It puts you to sleep.
Exactly. By mandating an alternating rhythm, the AI literally has to parse its own syntax tree. So if it detects, say, three long sentences in a row, the script halts the progression,
Wow.
and it forces the model to break that third sentence down into punchy conversational fragments.
It's forcing a human cadence. I love that. And then we hit layer three, which shifts from the rhythm to the actual substance, mm-hmm. content quality. Here, the AI verifies its own claims to see if they're actually backed by specific examples.
Right.
And it checks a delivery method, too. Like, information has to be dropped casually, kind of mid-conversation.
Yeah. Shia designed the specific layer to prevent that annoying lecturing professor tone that AI gets.
Oh, I hate that tone.
We all do. The AI evaluates the draft to see if it's explaining a concept top-down or if it's using an upward connection.
Upward connection? Like what?
Meaning taking a specific granular event and tying it up to a larger cultural reference. If the system reads a claim that feels too thin or abstract, the workflow mandates that the AI search its memory bank to insert a concrete case study before it can move on.
That is just brilliant.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the final boss, layer 4, the human test. The AI reads the entire revised piece and asks itself this highly subjective question. Does this feel like an experienced person earnestly talking about something that moved them, or does it feel like an AI outputting information?
The vibe check, basically.
Yeah. But wait, if it fails the subjective vibe check, how does the system handle it? Doesn't the AI just get stuck in this infinite loop of tweaking a word, failing?
You'd think so, but Shia actually addresses the friction of this self-correction. When layer 4 fails, the AI doesn't just tweak a few verbs, it generates a critique log.
A critique log?
Yeah, a separate text file detailing exactly why it felt artificial. Then, it uses that critique log as the primary instruction to rewrite the entire section from scratch.
That is wild.
It essentially acts as its own harshest editor. Shia noted that implementing this 4-layer pipeline dropped their personal revision time by 70%.
Because the machine is doing all the heavy lifting of the revisions before you even open the document.
Exactly.
And to prove how distinct these pipelines really are, Shia contrasts Kazik's writer with another skill in the repository called Wandian Writer. This one is modeled after a deep analysis style, so it's highly analytical, prioritizes data first, cold narration, warm judgment.
The contrast is vital here. Because if you try to run both of these skills on the exact same article, Shia warns it produces this massive narrative whiplash for the reader.
Right, you can't just mash them together.
No, you can't merge them. It shows a fundamental shift in how we should treat these systems. We aren't asking the AI to simply, you know, be creative. We are building a concrete pipeline of constraints. And the true creativity emerges as the AI navigates those strict boundaries.
But giving an AI this level of stylistic control introduces a dangerous new problem, doesn't it? I mean, it can now write a highly persuasive, perfectly paced article that is completely factually incorrect.
Yes, hallucinations with great rhythm.
Exactly. If the AI sounds this confident, how do we stop it from lying to us? You can have the best style in the world, but if your facts are wrong, the pipeline is useless, which I think shifts our focus from how to write to how to verify.
And verification is where the pipeline concept becomes truly essential for knowledge work. Shia outlines the skill called deep research. And this is not just a tool that scrapes the first page of search results.
No, definitely not.
It categorizes every single unit of information using a strict tier 1 through tier 4 classification system.
So tier 1 is what? The basic vendor official documentation. It's the PR spin. It's what the company wants you to read.
Precisely.
But as you move down the tiers, you get closer to the messy reality. Tier 4 is where the unvarnished truth lives. Raw GitHub issues, user migration stories on obscure forums, production postmortems.
Exactly. The kind of data that standard AI summaries usually just ignore because it's way too unstructured.
Okay, but I have to push back here a little bit. Isn't this just automated Googling? I mean, you can tell an AI to search GitHub forums, but when it's reading a thread of 20 different developers arguing about a bug, how does the AI actually synthesize that and know what's true?
That is the core challenge of AI research, right?
Right.
And the way the deep research skill handles it is honestly computationally brilliant. It doesn't perform a linear search.
What does it do?
The skill spins up multiple sub-agents and runs them all in parallel, assigning them overlapping coverage areas.
Wait, so they're researching the exact same topic independently, just from slightly different angles?
Yes. And it does this intentionally to force contradictions.
Well, that's smart. Let's say Agent A reads the Tier 1 official documentation, which naturally claims a new database feature works perfectly. Meanwhile, Agent B is scanning Tier 4 GitHub issues and finds 50 users complaining that the feature crashes their servers.
So what happens then? Does it just average it out?
No, the system doesn't just average those two findings. It employs a resolver function.
Okay, how does a resolver work?
When it spots the contradiction, the skill enforces a hard rule. Every single load-bearing claim in the final output must be backed by independent Tier 3 or Tier 4 sources. The resolver mathematically downweights the Tier 1 marketing copy because it conflicts with the Tier 4 empirical data. Vendor narrative alone is never allowed to stand as fact.
That is remarkably smart. It's automating the skepticism of an investigative journalist. Like, trust, but verify with the people whose servers actually crashed.
Right.
And that's just the verification mode.
Mm-hmm.
Gia also includes a story mode for research called narrative research,
which relies on a fascinating methodology adapted for Western sources called horizontal vertical analysis. Yeah, I love the visual framework of this. You basically plot a vertical axis, which tracks the life cycle narrative of the subject, how a company started, how it evolved, where it is today. Mm-hmm. Then you draw a horizontal axis across it, representing the competitive cross-section of the market at that exact moment in time.
And when you cross those axes, the AI isn't just listing facts chronologically anymore. It generates structural insight.
Right.
You understand why a company made a specific decision because you can actually see the pressure from competitors horizontally at that specific vertical stage of their growth.
It gives a context. So we have these incredibly rigid, self-correcting pipelines for writing and researching text. But let's be real, modern workflows are not just pristine text documents.
Oh, not at all. They are messy.
Yeah, we're dealing with a multimedia nightmare of images, audio transcripts, PDFs, scattered project files. How does this ecosystem handle the actual clutter of real digital work?
Well, Shia approaches the clutter very deliberately, including several specific media skills right in the repository. For standard tasks, there is GPT Image, which Shia notes is surprisingly effective at embedding readable, accurate text into images.
Which is usually a massive failure point for earlier models.
Huge failure point. But the real standout is Gemini Image.
Yes, this one really caught my attention. It's adapted from an existing skill called Nano Banana. And it is optimized for illustration aesthetics, things like anime, watercolor, studio bleach styles. But the technical detail that makes this just incredible is that this Gemini skill allows you to input up to 14 reference images.
14, which directly addresses the most frustrating bottleneck in AI image generation character consistency.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Anyone who has tried to use AI to generate a slide deck or a comic knows how completely impossible it is to keep a character looking identical when the background or their pose changes.
It's infuriating.
But how does feeding it 14 images actually solve that under the hood?
Well, instead of just loosely imitating the visual style of one text prompt, feeding 14 reference images allows the AI to map key facial landmarks and clothing geometries. It essentially creates a persistent mathematical latent space anchor for that specific character.
A latent space anchor. So it builds a 3D model in its head.
Effectively, yes. When you ask it to change the character's pose, the AI is rotating and referencing that invisible composite model rather than just guessing what the character looks like from a new angle.
It locks the identity in.
Yeah.
It's just another perfect example of moving from a simple text prompt to a robust engineering pipeline. And she extends this to document parsing too, right?
Oh, yeah.
There is a transcribe skill running on Gemini 3 Flash to clean up messy meeting audio, an Apple PDF, which leverages macOS's native PDF kit for text extraction. Because apparently Shia found it produces significantly cleaner output than standard open source PDF parsers.
But as you pointed out, running all these agents, you know, researching, generating images, extracting PDFs, it creates a massive amount of digital exhaust. Your workspace quickly turns into a disaster zone of temporary files and fragmented memory logs.
Which brings us to what I consider the absolute unsung hero of this entire setup, the NeedFreak workflow. It's a digital hygiene skill.
I love that name.
Right. Shia designed it to activate at the end of a session. When you finish working, NeedFreak runs through the project and reconciles three completely different layers of memory.
And the mechanism of how it treats those three layers is crucial because they serve three entirely different audiences.
Yeah, break that down for us.
So the first layer is the agent's internal memory system. NeedFreak compresses the sprawling, rolling chat window of the session into a concise state file. This is purely for the future AI that will wake up inside this specific project tomorrow.
So it basically gives the AI amnesia for the junk, but keeps the core lessons.
Precisely. Now, the second layer is the root markdown files. For anyone unfamiliar, markdown files are those lightweight text documents developers use to map out projects.
Right.
NeedFreak updates the file paths and context here for any other external AI agent that might interact with the repository down the line. And finally, it addresses the third layer, the public documentation. It translates the technical state of the project into readable paragraphs for external human beings.
Because Humans and machines experience context drift totally differently. If you don't translate the progress appropriately for each audience, things just break.
They absolutely do.
I kept thinking about this in terms of a culinary analogy. This skill is exactly like a sous chef in a Michelin star restaurant obsessively wiping down and reorganizing their prep station at the end of a chaotic Friday night shift.
Oh, that's a great comparison.
Yeah, they scrub the cutting boards, they sharpen the knives, they label the backup ingredients.
They reset the environment to a known state of quality.
Exactly. That way, whoever walks into that kitchen the next morning, whether it's the exact same sous chef, a brand new prep cook, or a health inspector, knows precisely where the knives are. The friction of starting the next session is literally reduced to zero.
So we've seen how rigid and analytical the system can be when applied to writing, research, and coding hygiene. But what happens when you take this incredibly strict engineering mindset and apply it to something entirely irrational?
Here's where it gets really interesting. That is where Shia's Banksian skill comes in. The cyber half immortal.
The cyber half immortal.
Yes. It is a literal divination tool. Shia ported this from a production platform, and it uses real Eastern divination methods, complete with 64 hexagram data sets.
Now, the obvious question is, why bother porting a mystical divination tool into a developer's highly optimized terminal environment?
I think it proves the total flexibility of the framework, and the persona Shia wrapped it in is just brilliant. The AI acts as a half-immortal entity that is calibrated to be 70% mystical and 25% modern slang.
Modern slang.
Yeah, meaning it will gladly cast an ancient hexagram to predict your Q3 KPIs, your mortgage rates, or your dating life.
That is hilarious.
But it maintains 5% professional discipline. It has a hard-coded refusal to predict death, and it will not allow you to do repeat divinations on the exact same question just because you didn't like the first answer.
It's a highly entertaining skill, for sure. But if we connect this to the broader philosophy of Shia's source material, it actually illustrates something profound. In the post, Shia references Robert Persig's classic book, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
Oh, phenomenal book about the intersection of technology and human values.
Truly. Persig makes a compelling argument about the nature of expertise. The difference between someone who truly understands a motorcycle and someone who is just blindly following a repair manual isn't about who memorized the torque specifications. It's about a concept Persig calls care.
But care isn't just about trying hard, right?
No, care is intuition. It's knowing why you apply a specific torque. It's knowing by the physical feel of the wrench when to stop tightening, and knowing exactly when to abandon the manual and switch to a completely different tool.
Right.
That judgment, that deep contextual intuition, that is care. And historically, you cannot put that kind of care into a traditional instruction manual.
But Shia is arguing that you can put it into an AI skill.
What's fascinating here is that this is the ultimate conclusion of this year-long experiment. These workflows are not just productivity hacks. Building these skills is the mechanism by which we encode human care into the machine.
When you look back at everything we've discussed today, the strict punctuation bans in the Kha'Zix writer, the demand for independent tier 4 sources and deep research, the obsessive end-of-day memory wiping in Neat Freak, none of those came from a default AI model.
Not a single one.
Those rules are the residue of a human being tripping over a problem repeatedly, getting deeply frustrated, and finally drawing a line in the sand.
They are the moments where Shia said, no, this is the standard. This is the subjective judgment call that must live inside the loop. Until you encode that level of judgment, the phrase AI collaboration is just an empty marketing buzzword.
It really is.
Without encoded care, you aren't collaborating. You're just a manager constantly looking over the shoulder of an erratic intern, fixing their mistakes over and over. The machine only inherits your care when you systematically write it down.
Which leads to a massive counterintuitive truth about this entire process. Everyone assumes the primary reason you build AI workflows is to save time.
Sure, that's the pitch.
And yes, dropping revision time by 70% is great. But Shia discovered that the real return on investment isn't the time saved. It's that the process forces absolute clarity.
Yes. Before building these concrete skills, he admits they operated mostly on intuition. They knew when a piece of research felt too thin or when a draft's tone was slightly off, but they couldn't always clearly articulate why.
They were just going on feeling.
They were iterating on vibes, but an AI cannot compute vibes.
The machine requires logic. If you are going to leave the room and trust the AI to self-check its own writing 4 times, your personal standards have to leave your brain and actually land on the hard drive.
You sit down thinking you're going to teach the AI how to do the work. But in reality, the process forces you to figure out, often for the very first time in your professional life, how you actually do the work. You are forced to clearly articulate your own unwritten rules.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? We've gone on quite a journey today through Shia's AX Skills Repository. We started by dismantling the vending machine model of AI, realizing that a true skill is a self-checking pipeline, just like the four brutal editing layers of Kazik's writer.
We examined how that pipeline approach radically changes verification, utilizing parallel sub-agents to force contradictions and prioritize raw Tier 4 data over polished vendor narratives.
We looked at the critical necessity of digital hygiene, using NeatFreak to manage context drift for different audiences. And ultimately, we arrived at this profound idea of encoding our personal professional care into the silicon itself.
Which leaves us with a fascinating question regarding the future of work. In the broader conversation about technology, there is a constant underlying fear that AI will eventually replace human judgment entirely. We worry the machine will make our expertise irrelevant.
We hear it every day.
But Shia's framework points to a completely different reality.
How so?
What if mapping your own unwritten rules, your specific intuition and personal care into these systems, is the only way to make your unique expertise scalable and irreplaceable?
Wow.
Anyone with an internet connection can buy access to a baseline AI model, but nobody else has your specific hard-won intuition for quality.
That is a surprisingly powerful way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to sit down today and write out the unwritten rules of your job as a digital skill, what would layer one be? Something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, keep diving deep.